Okay, so here we are in day 8 of our 8 days to prosperity call. I can't believe the 8 days went by so quickly, and I hope that you really picked up some elements that have made a difference for you, things that maybe you never heard before or never heard them quite the way you heard them this time. And that's one of the things that I love about Phil is that he doesn't just teach this stuff, he lives this stuff. He has done all this stuff, and I have the privilege to talk to Phil very frequently. We've been friends for over 8 years, and we talk on all different levels. And I still learned a lot from these 8 days myself. In fact, I want to share 2 things with you that I picked up from these calls that have already made a difference in my business. And one of them was one of the very first exercises that Phil did, where he had us close our eyes and he had us visualize what it could be like. And he sort of brought us into the future about the way it could be. Well, Sunday night I taught a nutrition seminar, and I did a similar visualization exercise with a brand new group of 20 newbies who are about to start a boot camp who were nervous and scared to death, not sure what to expect, feeling very unconfident and uneasy. And I had them close their eyes, and I walked them through what it could be like for them to wake up and feel a firm midsection and to feel that their body was strong and to be able to feel their muscles. And I walked them through this whole exercise, and you can just see the smiles come on their faces and their shoulders come down and their bodies relax and that big exhale and sort of a sigh of relief. And I took into this whole thing about, you know, detoxifying and being strong and having energy and getting rid of disease and pain. And by the time they were done and we were ready to start the seminar, you could just see that they were in a completely different state. They already trusted me and they became excited. So they went from total, you know, white knuckles sitting in their chair. And just that one exercise, I will probably use that. I'm teaching another seminar tonight to 100 women in a women's group, and it's about longevity. And we'll do something similar again. And I think, wow, how come I never thought to do that before? I mean, I've read and studied about visualization. I personally use it. But I just thought it was such a great technique, and to physically be able to see the change in their physiology was just so powerful. And I've been doing this nutrition seminar for years and years, and it just totally changed the way that I kicked it off, and I'll be doing that for a long time to come. It just put them in such a different state. The second thing that I did was I email my clients every day during the week, Monday through Friday. And I have a certain strategy to how I put these newsletters together that I send to them. And it's very empowering and inspiring. But yesterday, I kicked off a 12-week, what I called a rapid beach body makeover program. And I had 60 people start. I had about 50 men and about 50 women and 10 or 11 men. And I started giving them a daily directive. And that was something that I got from Phil. And I thought, wow, this is so powerful, and I got such incredible feedback from people. They started writing me and posting on the blog and just created such great energy. And again, people wrote me today. This was day 2, and I gave them a second directive, and it just has added a whole new dimension and level to what is going to go on in this 12-week program. And I know by the end of the first week and the end of the first month and 12 weeks, they're going to completely be in a new place, and it just takes you so far beyond what any other personal trainer is doing. I mean, it makes it so easy for you to separate yourself. People will instantly see that this isn't just another personal training workout, that this is about a lifestyle change, that this trainer cares about me, and they're going to see such amazing results, and I know it's going to come back to me tenfold. So using the directives, but on a consumer level, is something that I really hadn't thought to do specifically the way Phil has done with us. So I hope no matter where you started this call 8 days ago, you know, you might be barely tottering. I mean, you might feel like one more thing and you're just going to crumble. Whatever might be going on in your life, maybe you're just really carefully and slowly placing one foot in front of the other, and every move is so important and just trying to be strategic. Or maybe things are going along good for you and you've got some great momentum going and you picked up some great things from this call that are just going to speed that up even quicker and allow you to do things even faster, stronger, with greater enjoyment and greater profit. So I really hope that you realize the magnitude of this information. You're just getting a tiny piece of what this is about. And it's really hard to put into words what this whole program is. I mean, this is the beginning of change. So if you got onto this call and you were attracted to it because you were desperate, or maybe you were sort of comfortable but you know there's more and didn't know how to get there, you know, I hope that you can start to see a taste of what this is about and what it could be. I mean, really, it's a tiny, tiny bit of scratching the surface of what it is that Phil has to offer you. So I know we don't have a lot of time, and it's the last day, so I'm going to let Phil take it over.
Before I take it over, Kel, can you talk about your experience when you conduct two seminars at a conference? You conduct a business seminar and a technical seminar. Can you talk about the in terms of interest and attendance?
I've done this many times where whether I'm at a club industry or for a specific company like New York Sports Club, and I go in and I speak to the trainers, I always make the first session something like how to help your female clients drop those last 10 pounds, or 10 new ways to help clients boost their metabolism, or you know, something that's really hot and timely that trainers always want to know. Yeah, you know, how do we get through that? What are the secrets? How do I get past the struggle with my clients? I will have whatever the capacity of the room will hold. If the room holds 300, I'll have 350, standing room only. They're hanging on my every word. And I've done this with, you know, what's the greatest new boot camp workouts or whatever it might be that's hot. The second session I do always somehow relates to the first, but it has a business topic. For example, how to take your career from average to outstanding. You know, something like that about having a prosperous career. I will get about 30 people in the room. So a tenth of the people will attend something that's going to help them to better their career, yet they want to know the latest way. You know, how do I stand on a BOSU with one foot and have one kettlebell in one hand and be holding a glass of water? I mean, that's where the trainers want to be. They want to know, you know, how do I skip backwards while, you know, using a band? Yet when they come to the seminar, the 30 people who do show up, when they get done, they say, Kelly, I got my money's worth for the entire three-day conference in the last 90 minutes. I come to this conference every year for you. But so few people are even attracted to coming to the session. It just boggles my mind. It's unbelievable. And I see I've done it time and time again for years where I do one that has to do with something, fitness, metabolism, and one that has to do with business. The business one is such low attendance.
And if you ran an accounting firm, you could find over 200 seminars any given month teaching you how to organize, how to optimize, or how to better run your business. And in any one of those seminars, you would find strategies that you could immediately use if you were running an accounting business. If a personal trainer went to those same seminars, you'd probably leave with very little in terms of real-world applicable value that you could immediately implement. Because accountants are dealing with numbers, even if they're not dynamic, even if they're not aggressive, it would be pretty simple for them to come back from a workshop and know how to get significant value for their investment. If you ran a telephone-based marketing company, or a vocational school, or a human resources department, you could also find over 200 seminars. And you could take home forms, or you could take home practical systems that could be implemented in a day, some of which would increase your efficiency and your profit. If you ran a security company or a sales organization or a manufacturing company or a purchasing division of a major retailer, there are volumes of information related to increasing your profitability, and if you sought out industry-specific materials, you could apply them instantly. Now, the workshops in our field are great. They teach us how to do some of what Kelly spoke about. They teach us how to create new exercise protocols, how to program deconditioned clients, or how to facilitate quickness in athletes. And then if you dig a little bit, there are some more specific workshops. They can teach us how do we strengthen the muscles that act at the knee joint, or how can we combat muscular imbalances that lead to forward head or excessive kyphosis, or how can we create an unstable platform to better translate conventional exercises to functional movements. We can find those. We can find those easily. We can spend upwards of $250 on some of those workshops. And if we travel there and we add in the cost of travel and hotel and missed client sessions, we could easily spend over $1,000. And our return can be zero. Zero. That's part of the oddity or the relative immaturity of our field. if this is really going to be a career choice for people, and by the way, I don't put those sessions down. Both of Kelly's sessions were great. When she speaks at a conference and she does two sessions, they're all great. I've been to Kelly's sessions. They're all great. But it's amazing how people shy away from the one that really is going to bring a return on their investment. I'm not putting down the other one. It's important. But if you're spending money to be there and you want this to be your career, shouldn't there be a return? So if we're talking about this being your career, your livelihood, then you've got to figure out, unlike most personal trainers, you can't follow the rest of the field because I'm telling you they're not getting the return. You've got to figure out how are you going to do this and really get a return. I've been to many seminars that taught me to make more money. One, and I think really this one was kind of a breakthrough for me. One of the ones that I remember the most was a sales seminar at the Harbor Beach Marriott for the top salespeople in the country at Xerox Corporation. It had nothing to do with personal training, but I attended that seminar. Another was a workshop in Orlando for psychologists expanding into hypnotherapy so they could make more money. Now, the information that I was looking for, how do I build my business so I can make more money, it wasn't available in my field. So if I were going to find the information that I sought after, I was going to have to look outside of our field. And I think I'm a rarity in that way. Most trainers wouldn't seek out those workshops and seminars, and if some trainers found themselves there, they might not have found the insights that I did. I had to do a lot of translation. In other words, I took what I learned about getting someone to say yes to setting an appointment with a copier salesperson, and I translated it for myself to answer the question, how do I get someone to have interest in my training services? So a lot of translation takes place. Now, I come to you today in the position I'm in part because I ventured way outside of our field. I have the information and insights that can empower trainers because I didn't stay in the box. I went looking over the course of the last 20 years. Although personal training has always been the core of my business and always will, I sold exercise equipment to real estate developers. I manufactured nutritional powders. I consulted with corporations and health clubs. I established management contracts for exercise facility. I owned and operated health clubs and studios. I did direct marketing of my own books and programs, and I wrote for some of the top consumer magazines in the world. But I was always a personal trainer who wanted to learn other ways to run a business. Now, it's interesting because I hear myself sometimes introduced as a business person, and I'm not. I hate the idea of business. I do. I hate when people call me a business person or a businessman. I should be flattered by it, but I feel like, you know, you don't know me. I'm not a business. I'm a personal trainer. But if I was going to make a living doing what I love, then I had to figure some things out, and there's got to be some overlap between what I love and what I learned to do because it allows me to do what I love. As a result, I have a very unconventional education, and I have the ability to take concepts that were created in other fields and figure out how they can apply to what we do. And only now do I realize how unique I was in pursuing the information I did. In other words, I kind of took it for granted that anybody looking to make money would look, but I realize now most personal trainers wouldn't, and they didn't. So I would leap into areas that were complementary to personal training, but that actually fell under the umbrella of business more than fitness. I didn't abandon personal training, but I learned some things about business. Most personal trainers will never go near many of the business pursuits I've had experience with. I didn't love them because they were business. I loved them because they fed my personal training business and allowed me to do what I love. So now I feel a responsibility to share all that I've learned in a form that trainers can take it and use it to make more money. You don't have to translate it. Just like an accountant would leave a workshop or a seminar with real, practical, usable tools, that's what I want to give you. And I think most personal trainers who want to learn how to prosper are almost unfairly isolated. If they travel in the usual personal training circles, they're not ever going to be exposed to real business skills. And if they do find the ambition to self-educate in the area of business, they might pick up some of the New York Times bestsellers. Some of you might have been impressed by Jim Collins' Good to Great, or The E-Myth, or some of the books by Peter Drucker or Marcus Buckingham. Now, some of you are going, who are those people? They're not trainers. Others are going, yeah, I read that book. But do we really learn anything that is usable by us by looking at Lee Iacocca or by studying the management secrets of GE or by evaluating companies that compile the Fortune 500? In most cases, we have to be very astute to pull out the lessons from those books that really apply to us. And then we have to be diligent and innovative so we can take those lessons and use them so they show a return. I've become adept at pulling out lessons. And right now, I want to share an insight that I gleaned from a large restaurant chain. In fact, the largest. Yum Restaurants, Y-U-M. Yum Restaurants, even in a troubled economy, achieved 3% worldwide same-store growth. And they've been doing that for more than 7 straight years. Now, that's business talk, Phil. What does that have to do with personal training? Well, stay with me and you'll see how it translates. In a troubled economy, this company, this massive company, you're going, I never heard of Yum Restaurants. So you did. Trust me, you did. They achieved 3% worldwide same-store growth. That is significant. I want you to remember what I said, same-store growth. Yum Restaurants has over 1.4 million employees. And that's a city, 1.4 million. They're massive. And in this economy, the giants are supposed to fall. Why are they standing strong? Well, first, let me introduce them by names you know better so you'll recognize who they are. They're the company that owns KFC. Now, KFC is taking a little bit of a hit right now in the United States. Doing well as a company internationally, taking a little bit of a hit in the United States. So in the next couple of days, they're going to do something very cool. They are releasing their grilled chicken. Now, I know a lot of people go, that's absurd. People don't go for healthy meals to KFC. Well, if they can make it taste really good, I mean, time will tell. But they're not just sitting back going, oh, poor us in this bad economy. They're being innovative, they're being creative, and they're going, in this bad economy, people are stressed and people are worried and people are certainly making poor nutritional choices and they're hearing that they should eat healthy. So wouldn't it be great if we can give them the great tasting chicken they love but give it to them in a way that they're going to believe that it's healthy for them? Smart. Again, we'll see how it pans out, but you guys will hear about it if you haven't yet. KFC will be releasing grilled chicken. They also, when I say they, I mean Yum Restaurants, they also own Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and Long John Silver's. Now, when business experts view the practices of Yum brands, because every one of those is a brand, they will immediately identify that one of their strengths has been international growth. In other words, when business experts look at it, they're going to go, of course they're doing well in this economy because they're making a lot of their money outside of the United States. That's true. Rather than tying their prosperity to the condition of the U.S. economy, Yum Restaurants opens more than 4 new restaurants every day somewhere in the world. 4 new restaurants every single day. Well, everybody's going, poor us, poor economy. They're opening new restaurants for a day. So that speaks to the foresight of the company globally. But let's come back to what I first told you. They achieved 3% worldwide same-store growth, and that includes U.S. stores, and that includes Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut is growing. Now, if we look purely at the Pizza Hut brand, and we look at the growth paradigms that drive same-store profits to escalate, what I mean by that is they're not reacting. They're not going, let's pull a meeting together and decide what reactionary move we can take. They have paradigms. They have rules, and they stick to those rules, and they follow those rules, and those rules lead to growth. So if we look at those growth paradigms and we realize that they are effective because they're bringing about not just global growth but same-store profits to escalate, we will find a very valuable lesson, one that will change the way you look at the growth of your own business. Now, I'll tell you this. I am a big pizza fan. I love pizza. I think it's a New York thing. I don't know. Maybe growing up in New York, you just eat pizza. You just do it. And it's really good. Now, personally, I've yet to go anywhere in the world that has pizza that comes close to good New York pizza. In fact, the Ray's Pizza on Broadway and 53rd is where I had lunch with Bob Piani, and that pizza is about as good as it gets. Until I moved to Florida, I had never tasted Domino's. Now, I will, on occasion, settle for Domino's or Papa John's or Pizza Hut because I live in Florida now. But to me, it isn't really pizza, at least not the pizza I grew up on. There happened to be a couple of guys from Brooklyn that opened a place right near my new home, and they do a pretty good job, but I digress. I didn't mean to start talking about different pizza places. My intention isn't to discuss pizza place ratings, but to share a strategy that Yum's employs with the Pizza Hut brand. Pizza Hut has 17 million customers. Their average pizza price is $9. That means if the company could figure out not necessarily how to outsell Papa John's and not necessarily how to run a pizza special that makes the phones ring off the hook, but instead how to sell one more pizza per store per month to each customer each month, revenues increase by $2 billion. One more pizza equals $2 billion. I want you to grasp this. It's not something radical that's going to bring them a return of $2 million additional dollars. It's focusing on selling one more pizza per store per month to each customer. One more pizza. Now, when you wrote down your dreams as we were going through this 7 days prior to today, I doubt that you included in there increasing revenues by $2 billion selling pizza. But I believe that serves as a very elegant example of how a little nudge can bring a far greater return than a misdirected or an inconsistent shift in focus. They didn't decide they're going to sell fresh fruit. They go, hey, let's start to sell watermelon because now people come here to buy watermelon and we'll make $2 billion. No, doing what they do a little bit better. I want to repeat the point. It's so important to understand. They've achieved same-store growth not by operating in reaction mode and bobbing and weaving based on what their competitors do or based on the economy, but regardless of their new offerings and their new experiments, they're committed to increase revenues by focusing on selling one more pizza per store per month to each customer. Now, most of us, if we were put on like Celebrity Apprentice and we were asked to figure out a way for a food giant like Pizza Hut to increase revenues by $2 billion, we would go crazy. We would think of how we could spend more money on advertising and giveaways and strategic alliances and sponsorships and everything else we see the big companies do. We would never think of the simplicity of just selling one more pizza. Ask any of the 1.4 million employees of Yum! Brands if they believe it is possible to inspire the sale of one more pizza to each customer, and you will not hear an inkling of doubt. They're going to go, of course, one more pizza. Now, if there's a business model that I know better than any other, it is the health club business. As an owner, a consultant, and someone who's been exposed to the operations and the financials of scores of health clubs for decades, I see and understand the patterns and the paradigms, and it is no wonder so many clubs are suffering and struggling right now. And they are. Most conventional health clubs are constantly in reaction. They're constantly in reinvention mode. Each month, they're pressured to come up with a promotion that works. If some of you work in health clubs, you may be exposed to it. You may see the difference in the salespeople the last few days of the month. In January, health clubs play off of the New Year's resolution. In February, now they need a new marketing campaign, so they attempt to creatively tie in Valentine's Day. And in March, they run a spring promotion. In the meanwhile, their competitors are running similar promotions, right? Right down the road, there's another health club going, come here for your New Year's resolution. You know, bring your sweetheart here for Valentine's Day. Two for one, February 14th. And the difference is their competitors are running price specials. That's stressful. So they're constantly watching each other and adjusting their pricing and their offers. And they also run into months where they lose more members than they enroll. And then they take a radical shift where they go, now we've got to focus on retention. We're losing members. We've got to keep our members. So now they start to promote in-house, and they start to work the inactives, and it is erratic, and it is unpredictable, and there is rarely any company-wide focus beyond any given 30-day period. Imagine if it were possible for a health club to remove the daily refocus avoid the stress of the bad month and the reactive raising of the next month's goal, and to allow their employees to connect at a level of new enrollment that was grounded in company-wide belief. In other words, rather than everybody scrambling to meet the goal, imagine if the companies were really just centered and all the employees were very committed to doing what makes the company unique. Before I revisit the Pizza Hut approach, consider the spa and spa service business. They also feel a need to play to the seasonality of the market or the time of year. Right now, accountants, reward yourself with a massage after April 15th. If you have some of the massage franchises in your area, you've probably seen those ads. Now it's going to be get mom a gift in May. Get dad a gift in June. Now, they may have some very good responses to their promotions, but realize each month begins at zero with a new need for new promotion. In other words, when Father's Day is over, now they need a new promotion. New competitors have arrived, especially since last year. So even if a promotion proved to work last year, it may fall flat today because their competitors are offering it at a better price. The goal of these companies in any given moment is to find a promotion that creates a big splash during select days. And because that's the way they operate, it prevents any sense of long-term security that next month will be at least as productive as this month. In other words, they're using all the bait they have to attract whatever they can in a 30-day period, but on day 31, they have to find new bait or they starve. They fail to recognize the value of simply nudging things forward a little tiny bit. In Be Better, I call that nudging the prosperity needle. Just nudging it forward. If there were a gauge that measured your prosperity, you don't want to floor the pedal and hit burnout. You just want to nudge it forward a little bit. So that's what I call this concept in Be Better, nudging the prosperity needle. Have you ever hit that point of burnout? If you have, you probably felt it coming. It's not like it just hit you. You felt it coming on. People said, you know what, you seem really stressed. You're acting differently. You're not yourself, right? You went through that period, but you were so deep in the have-tos, you couldn't do anything to control it. In other words, you felt it coming, and you would like to stop, but you couldn't because you had to do this, and you had to do that, and you had to do the other thing. Imagine if there were a gauge that can help you recognize the balance between moving forward and progressing and pushing the limits of your positive energy. As I said, you wouldn't want to floor it. You wouldn't want to race forward and crank the gauge into the red. Instead, you would nudge things forward just a bit and make sure that you don't come near the stress that can lead to burnout. So in considering increasing your own prosperity and moving closer to whatever you determine presently to be your dream, suppose you find a way to attract just one new client a month. Not 10, not 8, not 4, just one. Suppose you found a way to just attract one new client. And suppose that that was all the return you sought from your marketing. Would that make sense to just focus on getting one new client? At first you would say no. No. You need more than one client. But think about what your initial reaction would be if Pizza Hut told you they were going to make $2 billion by focusing on just one more pizza. Rather than swinging for the fences, they comfortably nudge that needle on the gauge a little bit at a time, and you can and you should do exactly the same thing. Suppose you do what I alluded to. Suppose you focused on attracting one new client, and that client trains twice per week at $50 a session. Now, before I go on, I want you to get the simplicity of this. One client per month, twice per week, $50 a session. So in this example, that would be the only goal. If I said, now, just using the tools that you have, talking to five people a day, your goal is in this next month, I just want you to get one new client, twice a week, $50 a session. Now, of course, you would also have to retain whatever existing business you have, but that goes without saying. I mean, you're not going to lose your business to get one new client. You already have some business. I'm saying let's add to that business. Just like Pizza Hut is just going to sell one more pizza, I want you to get one more client. Twice a week, $50 a shot. At this point, That simple task should be laughable. You should be going, of course I could do that. That's silly, Phil. It shouldn't sound as if it would present any sort of challenge at all. You've got 30 days to get one new client. You're going to go, sure, I can do that. Now, I don't want you to be naive and believe that I'm suggesting this is really all you have to do to be successful, but I want you to recognize the financial return that nudging that needle one little increment at a time could bring about. Month one, you do what I just suggested, you increase revenues by $400. Because you got one new client now twice a week, $50 a shot. That's $100 extra a week, 4 weeks in a month. You increase monthly revenues by $400. That means you earn everything you earned the month prior because you're keeping those people, but now you've brought in an additional 8 sessions at $50 each. If you now have employees, and I know some of you do and some of you don't, either way it's okay, but if you now have employees, this is really simple to grasp. Even if you personally are training all the hours you want to, through your employees, you usher the new client into your stable, into your client roster, without requiring any more of your time. In other words, you got the one new client, and now you're taking either that client or one of your existing clients, and you're having one of your employees train that person. So your schedule hasn't changed. You are now free in the following month to continue your marketing, focusing only on one new client. Now let's take things forward. Remember, in month one, you added 8 sessions at $50 each. Whether you had the opening in your schedule and you keep the month one client for yourself, or you roll the new client over to an employee if you have employees, in month two, your month one new client has now fallen into your stable. In other words, that's now a part of what you're going to retain. So in month two, all you have to do is find one more client, and you increase revenues another $400. So assuming you maintain the client from month one, you are now $800 per month in revenues ahead of where you would have been had you not tuned your focus toward the simple goal of one client per month. Now work your way through an entire year, and how much extra will you generate? At first, you would think that you increased your revenues by $4,800 because you would do simple math, you go 12 times 400. But remember the retention element. You're not simply adding $400 a month to your pre-existing revenues. You're keeping the extra $400 and adding another $400 next month. If you go to the access page at personaltrainingprosperity.com/8daysaccess, if you go to that page, I've added a few things there, and one of the things is just a little PDF file with some of the directives from yesterday, and a chart that's going to verify what I'm talking about right now. If you do what I suggested, if you add one new client, $50 a session twice a week, every month, you increase your revenues this year by $31,200 by going after one new client. You could give yourself a $30,000 raise this year by focusing on getting one new client every month. Not eight, one. How do I do it? You just do what we spoke about. You talk to people. You talk to your existing clients. You see who they know. You talk to 5 people a day. This is laughable how easy it is. Why haven't you done it? Because you never thought this way before. So that sounds good. $31,000 more this year by focusing not on masses, not on huge creative promotions, but on one new client per month. Now, look ahead, and it gets even better. In fact, much better. Because by month 12, you will have increased your monthly revenues by $4,800. Now remember, that's not a gross number. That's a gross increase. That is a revenue boost beyond what you were earning previously, because you added $400 month one. Then you kept that for month two when you added another $400. So by month 12, you've increased your monthly revenues by $4,800 over what they were before you started this process. $4,800 above what you generate in a month now if you start this today. It's not a one-shot deal. It's not $4,800 and you're done. It's a monthly increase. So if you simply maintained your client base the following year, you would earn an extra $4,800 times 12 months, or about $60,000 extra. $60,000 extra just by focusing on one new client. Man, this personal training thing is sounding easy, isn't it? And I see trainers sitting around going, oh, I can't get any clients. Of course you can't get any clients if you sit around going, oh, I can't get any clients. But if you just say, I've got 30 days to get one, how great is that? Continue this nudging of the needle. And you can hire new trainers based on supply. You never have to go out of pocket. You never go, I need to hire a trainer, but I'm too busy and I don't have enough money. You hire a trainer when your supply exceeds the time that you're willing to invest. And now you have clients to funnel to that trainer. So you don't have to go out of pocket to hire and train staff and wonder where their clients will come from. And when five a day becomes effortless, which it will, I promise it will, you alleviate any pressure that ever came from the idea of marketing. So here's what you should have at this point. A sense of your own value and a per session dollar amount that correlates with it. Now you should now say, my value per session is blank dollars. And you shouldn't say blank. You should say 100 or 75 or 200 or 300, whatever the number is. And you should now have the ability to get paid that amount per session. You may have some clients who've been with you for a long time that you're going to grandfather in at your old rate plus $4, but moving forward, you should feel a sense of your own value. You should also now have great confidence in asking clients to commit and greater comfort than you had before in renting your time for the dollars you deserve. Not being a slave to all of your clients, but renting them your time, and in exchange for that rental, getting paid what you deserve. You should also have a heightened power over your own self-talk. You should certainly have lessened your use, internally and externally, of the words can't and but. And with that, you should have a heightened sense of what you can be responsible for. You should also have now, just at the end of 8 days, a new recognition of the simplicity of marketing and a very real sense of how easy it is to increase revenues systematically without any radical changes or expenditures. You didn't hear me tell you to spend money on advertising. I'm just asking you to talk to people that you're going to pass by. I'm not asking you to do anything that takes you out of your way. You should also now have a new sense of your own potential and a vision of the future, a vision of the outcome that you want, a vision of the dream. You should have greater control over the emotions that arise in relation to your career, meaning that there are times that those old emotions are going to spring up. But now you're going to recognize them and you're going to push them away. You're going to go, I don't want to feel that. I'm going to use a word, better. How do I feel? I feel better. And if I'm making that sound too simple, I don't apologize. It really is that simple. Link some real emotion to that word better and let a negative emotion try to get you and challenge it with the word better and watch it go away. The greatest enemy right now to your success is negativity that will come at you from all places. It will come at you from people. It will come at you from inside your own head. A, you've got to recognize it, and B, you've got to get away from it. The economy. Get away from that talk. Be in charge of your own economy. You're not the United States. You live in the United States. Some of you don't live in the United States. You're not even affected by the U.S. economy. But even if you live here, you're not the United States. When you hear that the United States is having economic problems, that doesn't mean you are. Are segments of your life affected by the economy? Perhaps. But does that mean you're not in control of your own economy? No, it doesn't mean that at all. You're completely in control of your own economy. Might you have to change some of the things that you say to people? Yeah. But are you responsible for that? Of course. And if you only have to get one new client a month, it has nothing to do with the economy. Most of all, you should now realize that you too are outside of the box and you can't get back in it. Don't get back in that box. You won't like it in there. You're different now. In 8 days, you become different. As a matter of fact, you're going to have trouble connecting in the same way to ordinary personal trainers as you've come to realize now that you're extraordinary. If you sit around and listen to the moaning that you didn't notice before, it will eat you up inside. So that concludes this 8 days of change. Now, I believe that for you guys, this is a new beginning. Because anytime I go through a moment or a program or a workshop that really brings about change, that change is lasting. Why? Because I'm responsible. It doesn't last by itself, but I understand some things and I recognize some things and I am response-able. So at this point, I invite you to continue on. I invite you to stay connected with me and with Kelly as together we move toward whatever your dreams are. Just as you love taking clients to destinations they wish for, right? When a client comes and goes, I want to be 40 pounds lighter. And you love that. You love that, especially because you know you can get them there. And then when you get them there, I don't know who feels better, you or them. You share the joy. So just as you love that experience, I have that joy. Not only with personal training clients, but also with trainers who were limited and are now free. You've heard me talk about my Be Better program. This 8 days was based in part upon the Be Better curriculum. I created my Be Better curriculum to help deserving trainers. When I say deserving, it's not up to me to decide who deserves it and who doesn't. The word deserve means to be of service. So ultimately, we have to serve other people. Now, that's not demeaning. That's a privilege. Because if we are compensated justly, the more people we serve, the greater the return that comes to us. So I want to help deserving trainers rise above the paradigm to escalate beyond what most personal trainers even think possible, let alone realistic. When you increase your income by $60,000, you know what you realize? You realize you can increase it by another $60,000. And you start to make different choices. You start to make choices based on what's best for the future and what's going to bring you to the future you want. So in my Be Better program, you will come to better understand yourself. You will challenge yourself. That I promise you. And it won't always be comfortable. And you'll connect with other like-minded trainers who will likely become lifelong friends. The relationships that have evolved through the Be Better program go way beyond friendships. Be Better comes with a genuine sense of family. It is a place where empowered trainers help others who share the same passion and the same ambition. Kel, anything that you would want to add before I conclude the call?
You know, this is an incredible opportunity. Phil and I have been around for a long, long time. We've seen a lot of things. And
I've been around longer.
And just a little bit. And we get frustrated. We get disappointed. You know, we get the phone calls from the trainers who have tried so many things and failed. And we are in this because we love what we do. This, to me, is a devotion. Phil will use the word relentless is why he's been so successful. But, you know, we want to share with you what we know. We want to save you all the mistakes that we made. It will take you a very long time. We want to help you to accelerate to the highest points possible. We see all the trainers that get stuck. We see too many people leave this industry who are good trainers. You know, we want you to enjoy your life as a trainer and leave a legacy, and that's what we want to do here. This is not about us. This is not about our ego. You're not going to meet two people with smaller egos than we have. We genuinely, really, and honestly want to help you get to the next level. I just listened to my messages before I got on the call. I have more work than I can handle right now, and it's great to be in a position where I can turn things down, where people I'm fairly new to this area will call me and say, hey, I heard about your reputation. I have some patients that I'd like to send to you. And I, you know, the answer is no, I can't handle them. I can turn you on to some people who work for me, though. And, you know, we want you to get to that point. and we can make it pretty easy for you. I don't want to say that it's not hard work, but it could be simple. So I really want to personally invite many of you to continue in some capacity in one of the things that we're offering.
I'm going to invite anybody, if you want to share a comment, a thought, or a question, I will invite the open phone line in just a minute. So if you want to, star 6. Okay, wait until I invite those types of questions. But for a few minutes, I'll open it up if you guys have them. If you don't, that's okay as well. I want to tell you that I now have a level of trainers who have risen through the Be Better program to achieve beyond anything they ever thought possible. And I want to be really careful here. You know, Kelly always says to me, she goes, why don't you put your credentials and achievements on your I go, I don't know. It's not about that. And she goes, oh, but you have to. I go, Kel, I can't. You know, and sometimes people ask me for a bio, and she'll read it, and she go, are you kidding me? This is all that you put? Because it's not about me. It's really not. I've achieved great things because I've connected with great people, because I have been resilient, because I've been knocked back, and I kept bouncing back. But I don't really believe that I have anything other than ambition that many trainers don't have. So when I can share this with people, I want them to go, ah, I get it. The light bulb just went off. I could do this. And that's what I do with the people in Be Better. So the people who have risen through Be Better to achieve really amazing things, it's hard for me to share it because I feel when I'm doing that I'm like overstating. And I'm not. I'm understating. But they are part of the family. They're part of the Be Better family. And what I'm going to do is, for the people who come into this next Be Better project, those people who have progressed through Be Better, they will serve as coaches. They will serve as coaches for the people who are coming in for the first time. Now, there are two ways to connect with Be Better. One is you come in as a member of Be Better 5. Be Better 5 is Be Better 1, was followed by Be Better 2, was followed by Be Better 3. It's an 8-month curriculum, and we've just completed Be Better 4. So this is the fifth one. We'll have about 20 trainers in a group. We connect twice per month by teleconference. There's a lot of interactivity. There's a discussion board like we've set up here, but it's not as wide. It's limited to a select group of people, and there's a very, very specific curriculum. It has been, I would say, the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. Of all the things that Kelly wants me to write about, this is it. This is the one that just feels amazing. I promise you, it is the most powerful program I've ever not only created, but I've ever been a part of. It is the result of 20 years of learning and 20 years of applying, and it changes lives like nothing I've ever seen. It's an investment of $2,600 over 8 months, broken down into $325 per month. Now, if that sounds expensive, think about everything we've discussed. Think about shifts in perspective. Think about the financial impact of one new client per month. Think of the changes in perspective that have taken place in only 8 days. Be Better 5 is interactive. Don't consider coming on board unless you're going to interact. You've got to be open. You've got to participate. I cannot put in words because I'm really bad at this, how powerful and strong it will be. I'll just tell you this. I get to know everyone in Be Better personally, and I am 100% committed to the success of everyone involved.
And Phil is so committed that he's actually given up a lot. He's walked away from his health club. This is what Phil wants to focus on full time. This is what his full commitment is. He has turned down consulting jobs, some pretty fun and interesting and outrageous opportunities, because this is what he is committed to doing. He's not going to talk to you about how to optimize your website or how to have the greatest headline to draw people in. You know, these are the tools that are the foundations that are going to build your business and your lifestyle.
Any thoughts, comments, questions related to anything that we spoke about, anything at all? Star 6 if you'd like to.
And guys, I'll just say real quick that we are flattered by your compliments and we think they're great. We appreciate those, but we really will learn a lot more from questions that you have or anything that you have about moving forward. We love your compliments and that's great and we do appreciate them. But we have a short amount of time, so anything that you want to ask us, we'd love to hear it.
I have a question.
Great.
It's Jane in Albany, New York.
Yep.
Tell me how this applies. I'm a former studio owner, and I work for someone else now. I'm going to be relocating to a new city in the southeast U.S. And I'm really excited about that change. I'm probably going to be working for someone else. I'm probably going to have my training rate set for me, similar to the circumstance that I'm in right now. And so there's a number of pros and cons to that approach to my career. So how does Be Better apply to, you know, that situation?
Well, Jane, you know what? The word probably is really going to be a hindrance to you. And the reason I say that is it prevents clarity. You know, the probably is kind of like going, I'm not really going to commit, so I'll kind of see which way the wind blows. And that's the damage that the word can do. Now, I understand why you're saying it, because you're not there yet and you don't know. You know, you've got this big question mark. But I cannot emphasize it strongly enough. When you decide something, that means you've cut off any other possibility. And I don't know exactly how, and I don't even know exactly why. I just know your focus changes, your reticular activating system changes, you notice things differently, you approach things differently, you respond differently. And when you have that probably, it's kind of like I said yesterday, that when you set a goal, the goal, it's okay to fail, but when you decide on an outcome, that outcome just happens. So what I would encourage you to do, and I don't mean this moment, but I want you to really think carefully about what you want, not about what you think you're going to probably have to do. And if you decide what you want, maybe working for somebody else is a stepping stone. Maybe it is. Or maybe you could work for somebody else and establish a position where you move into partnership. Or maybe you could move into a position where you do have some control, or you do change some of the paradigms. I'm just saying all of those are possibilities for you. So I cannot answer your question, only you can. Here's what I'll do. I will help you get the answers to those questions. They're going to come from you. They're not going to come from me. But I will prompt you, I will coach you, I will guide you, I'll get you to see opportunities, to think differently, and then it'll be ultimately up to you where you want to land. But I'll promise you this, at the end of the 8 months, you won't have the word probably. You'll have certainty. You're going to go, I'm here, and I like where I am, and I'm happy, and I like where I'm moving, and this is exactly where I want to be.
Okay.
Was that a, okay, yeah, or was that like a, okay, yeah.
The latter.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so give it some thought. But I want you to realize, do you remember yesterday I said to you, do you feel a sense of power? And you said, well, not power. And I said, well, I want you to feel power because there is power that you're not recognizing. And I still feel that from you. And it's going to take some time. But I want you to know that if I have the power to decide where I'm going to land, you have that same power. You really do. And I don't head straight there. I think I'm heading there, and then I mentioned the other day, a hurricane blew my office away. I mean, that would stop most people in their tracks. But for me, I said, okay, big wind came. I'm going to figure out a way around it. So every time that you get knocked to a new position, if you're really clear on where you want to get to, you'll get there. But if you're not clear, you won't. You know, then you kind of become a victim of the wind. So give that some thought, but this is my promise to you. If you come in to Be Better, I will, within the first 90 days, help you get absolute clarity on where you're going, and within the months that follow, I'm going to help you get there. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Any other, does better okay. Thank you for that. Any other thoughts, comments, questions at all about anything?
Hi, this is Kelly from Atlanta.
Hello, Kelly.
Hi. I just have a question about, I guess I kind of feel like I'm up against the big dogs when I do some of the things that I do. When I got my certification, I was ready just to jump in with both feet, and so I basically went ahead and started a boot camp. And I'm, you know, my competitors are the big corporations that run these now. And I just didn't know, I mean, I love having the personal touch. I guess I kind of like the thought of being able to hire who I'm going to hire to help me instruct, and that's kind of what I did. I started pulling more people into the mix, and that's helped a lot with the stress. But I mean, I'm wearing so many hats that, you know, I feel like this is why I wanted to take this course, because I wanted to be able to focus more. So I didn't know if you had any suggestions on, you know, just I'm newer. I don't have 18 years under my belt yet, but I mean, so I'm newer in this whole scene, and just didn't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, can you tell me, when we did some of the directives, did you gain any clarity as to what the future holds? Did you get a, when you saw the future, I'm sure you didn't see more hats, right? You didn't see yourself like opening a hat store.
No,
so
not at all.
Something in your thought process gave you some kind of sense of stability. Can you articulate what that was?
Well, I mean, when I visualize where I want to go is I love the thought of having other people that are working with me. I definitely enjoy that. I enjoy having the people who are with me now. I want to say managing, but I kind of consider myself part of the team more so than managing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of growing it slowly. I don't care to I'm not looking to grow it quickly, but just like you said, just kind of nudging it along.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I've been doing. So that's just, I mean, I get really excited. I can't imagine walking away from it. I love it too much, but it's so yeah, that's basically what I visualize. And I need to do that more, because what happens is I'll go on to other websites and I'll see these competitors, and it really just deflates me.
Okay, so listen, Kelly, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. And the other Kelly on the call will back me up on this. I don't look at other websites. I don't, like, she'll send it to me and I'll delete. I don't want to see it because I'm really clear. You know, and when I see other websites, I get upset, or I go, oh, look, there's somebody stealing my stuff, or trying to. So I don't look. I just don't look because I know where I'm headed. And when I see those things, they become distractions. And distractions are harmful. So I really try to shut those things out. So here's what I'm going to tell you, and I know this may be hard at the beginning. Forget those other people. They are not competitors unless you let them be competitors.
Okay.
All right, and there's I call this the prosperity model, and it's something that I spend a lot of time on and Be Better, and it's a huge part of what helped the people who have grown to grow. I take the process of building a personal training business, and I break it into three parts, and every single thing that you do, and this is not something that comes together in your head in a moment, it takes a few months, but when it does, it's life-changing. Everything that you do falls under one of three categories: the reach, the funnel, or the spillover. So right now, you could name 20 different hats that you wear. Those hats will become three. Everything will just go neatly into a file. It's either part of the reach, part of the funnel, part of the spillover. Reach is your marketing. Now, if you just talk to five people a day, that could be your reach forever. But what happens is, as you grow, you get momentum. And Kelly said she's speaking to 100 women tonight. You know, that came from a connection with one woman. And then that leads to connecting with 100 women. So as you talk to your five a day, before you know it, you're speaking in front of groups of 30 and 50, and then you're on TV, and then you're interviewed on the radio. And your competitors aren't doing that, so don't look at them. You know, just kind of get clear on what your reach is going to be. How are you going to reach more people every day? And don't make it about websites. Make it about people. Okay? Can you use your website? Sure. But don't make it about that, because then you look at other websites and you go, oh, theirs is as good as mine. But they're not as good as you. So when you look at the website, you're forming an unfair comparison that hurts you. So the reach is your marketing.
Okay.
The funnel is such a vital part of your ability to grow, because you don't want to wear all these hats. You can't be everything to everybody. It is not possible for you to have a staff and have that staff be happy and productive and you still train every client. It's not possible, because your staff needs to train people. But I think that's hard for most trainers, because they want to stay a part of the team. They want to stay in the trenches. They want to commit with all, you know, connect with all the clients. So the funnel is this. Everyone who comes into your business first goes through the point of intrigue, right, where they're going, maybe she has something for me. They don't just jump in. They go, let me check out what she's got. And then they go through the funnel. Now, the funnel means you're going to connect with people in a group. It could be a boot camp. It could be an orientation where you speak to five people. It can be a class where you speak to 20 people, but in that presentation, you're winning them over. So they're all very connected with you. Now, by the way, when I do a seminar, I'll have like 2,400 people in a room, and I promise you this, every one of them feels like that they met me, everyone. So that's the value of the funnel, is whether I'm doing it with two people or 2,400, I'm creating that impact where everybody feels like I really met Phil. So when you do that, the nice thing is everyone feels connected with you, and then your spillover means you can't possibly service all those people, so that's where the people who work for you take on the workload. And it's such a clean system, because you're either growing your reach, your funnel, and your spillover. Now, again, I'm just laying that out very quickly, and that's something we spend months on. But I think that takes away all the hats and turns it into three simple files, and then everything you have to do just goes neatly into a file.
Okay.
Conceptually, does that help?
Absolutely. No, it really does. I mean, I need that more simplified, because, yeah, if you think about too much, you start getting really, you know, pulled in different directions. So no, that makes total sense. It really does.
Okay. I appreciate you participating. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, one more question, thought, comment. Last chance. Okay. There are two ways to connect with Be Better. One is you come in as a member of Be Better 5. That's what I was talking about. The second is you would come in, if you're not comfortable with that $325 a month, if that sounds prohibitive to you or makes you kind of squirmy and you go, I don't know how I'm going to handle that, you can sign up for Be Better Academy. And Be Better Academy, it's the same material, but it's not interactive. You're not speaking to me. I'm not getting to know you. You're getting it in downloads. You can't interact. You can't ask questions. You don't get to connect with members. But it's only $67.50 a month. And if you do want additional help and coaching, those Beyond Better coaches are available for a very, I'll say, attractive and reasonable fee. Okay, right now I'm going to wrap up the 8 days. I'm going to ask that you go to the access page, the page that you've used to access the materials. Stacy will send another quick email for those of you who don't have the link. You will find there a post-program review and survey where Kelly and I are asking for your feedback. So we're asking you to complete it, to just, you know, take a few minutes, sit down with that little survey, you do it online, boom, 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 and just send us your honest responses. You can also, on that survey, you can check if you want to register for Be Better, and Kelly, Stacy, or I will call you to answer any questions and make sure there's a fit. Everything that we have shared with you, everything that we have given you in this 8 days is yours to keep. And not just keep, but to use. So I really hope, not that we've helped a few of you learn a few things, I hope that we've helped all of you change the way that you perceive your future. I want everybody who pursues this noble and rewarding career of personal training to reap the rewards. And the rewards should be immense, and they should be ongoing, and they should continue to escalate and grow. Because if you set up your business so that you only prosper by bettering the lives of others, the more prosperity you encounter, the more people you're helping in the process. And I can't think of a better way to live my life or a better way for you to live yours. So I appreciate the privilege to get to interact with you over these 8 days. I look forward to meeting some of you in Be Better. And until the next time we speak, I'm going to leave you with those words. They're powerful. They're real. They're genuine. Be better.